Welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast on Discover Wind River Linux Secure, the first EAL Plus certified embedded Linux platform. I'm Chris Schufo, Group Editorial Director at Open Systems Media. Of pertinence to today's eCast are our magazines Military Embedded Systems, VME and Critical Systems, and PC-104 and Small Form Factors. In this webinar, we're pleased to introduce to you Wind River Linux Secure, the first commercial Linux to achieve Common Criteria EAL 4 Plus certification, available on three popular embedded hardware architectures, Intel, ARM, and PowerPC. Linux has become the de facto OS for embedded systems where the designer or program manager wants to control their own destiny over a vendor's product life cycles. And despite the buzz of Android in consumer applications, Linux is by far the most popular open source choice for most embedded systems used in high-rel or defense systems. Similarly, the Common Criteria standard is the gold standard for high reliability and assurance. While we've seen some RTOSes certified to EAL levels, today you'll learn about how Linux now meets this stringent benchmark. Some terms for today's eCast, just to keep in track: Trusted OS, Common Criteria certification, FIPS 140-4 certification, Mandatory Access Control, and Multi-Level Security. All of these from a COTS operating system. Before we begin, some housekeeping items. Today's total briefing will consume about 50 minutes, leaving us about 10 minutes or so for questions at the end. On the audience console window before you, I encourage you to note a couple of buttons, the Enlarge Slides button, which you'll probably need, and the Forward to a Friend button. With the latter, you can send an email to someone inviting them to participate live in this very eCast. As well, you'll also need to have all pop-up blockers disabled, or at least allow pop-ups from ON24. If you've gotten this far, you'll know that both Firefox and IE works, and Chrome perhaps not. You'll also find on your console window a button that allows you to enter questions in real time. This is often the most interesting part of the eCast, and it's the part that I look forward to the most. We'll do our best to address all questions during the closing Q&A session. And if you have a question intended for a specific speaker, since we have three of them today, all from Wind River, please so note at the beginning of your question. That'll help me. And if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, one of our technicians will respond back to you privately during the eCast. Note that as much as we'd like to, we may not be able to get to all of your questions today. In fact, if that happens, someone may get back to you after the eCast with more information. That frequently happens, by the way. And our sponsor has also asked us to insert three very short poll questions today during the eCast. Don't be surprised if one of these three pops up. We ask that you take the 15 seconds or less to click the radio button and move on. And oh yes, before I forget, this eCast will be posted online within 24 hours. Often that's done by the end of today. More details at the end. So are we ready? Let's begin. I'm going to introduce our three speakers, and they will hand off amongst themselves during the presentation day. Our first speaker is Paul Anderson, VP, Product Strategy and Marketing, Linux. Paul leads the worldwide marketing and strategy function for Linux solutions at Wind River. As such, he and his team are responsible for the product strategy and the roadmap, as well as external marketing. Paul has a long career of leading key technology projects and businesses at Wind River and BSDI. Before joining BSDI, he was responsible for engineering at a medical devices company called WR Medical Devices Company. He graduated from St. Olaf College with a degree in computer science, and you can learn more of Paul's passion for embedded open source technology on the Wind River blogs, which is blogs.windriver.com. Paul is followed by Joe Vlad, Senior Director, Aerospace and Defense Marketing, a gentleman that I've known for many years. Joe has over 25 years of embedded engineering and marketing experience, including management roles at Safe Software Consulting, Trimble Navigation, Wind River, and LinuxWorks. His previous roles include work on GPS programs and the space shuttle at Intermetrics, aircraft tests and certification at McDonnell Douglas, and aircraft engineering at United Airlines. It would not surprise you to learn that Joe is a Federal Aviation Administration designated engineering representative for systems and equipment and software. Quite a title. He is an active instrument-rated private pilot and has co-authored three patents on global positioning system integrity functions. Joe Vlad holds a BS in Aerospace Engineering from the University of Buffalo and an MBA from Santa Clara University. And I just learned before the broadcast that Paul also is a commercial pilot, so they have a lot to talk about. Adds credibility to today's presentation. And finally, but not least, we'll hear from Milend Kukanar, Senior Product Manager, Linux. Milend is a Millen, is a senior product manager for Wind River's Linux product line. With over 12 years of software industry experience, his current product management responsibilities include Wind River Linux solutions for aerospace and defense, industrial, medical, and transportation markets. He's also responsible for the areas of Linux security and certifications, graphics, multimedia, and other middleware technologies. Prior to joining Wind River, Millend held a variety of marketing and engineering positions at Intel Corporation. He received his MBA from Purdue University, a master's degree in computer science from Western Michigan University, and a bachelor's degree in computer science from India. Wow. Three very credible speakers, a lot of material to cover, so we're going to get ready to go. Paul, are you ready to kick this off?
I am. Thank you, Chris, and welcome to the audience for this very exciting webinar launching our Wind River Linux Secure product. Let's see here. I'm going to hit next here. Maybe somebody could advance the slide for me. And one more. And one more again. Not sure why this is not pushing here. So as we know, we're seeing a dramatic increase in device security threats. If you look at just typing a quick Google search these days, it will highlight hundreds of newsworthy attacks from public service infrastructure, water, electric, gas, transportation, digital signage, and so forth. There's been some fairly high-profile cases where various parts of the embedded infrastructure was affected. One was the Stuxnet virus, and others were people showing that you could actually penetrate energy infrastructure and cause damage in the energy infrastructure, or even change the operation of an automobile. So as we become more reliant on embedded systems, we find that security becomes a greater threat to the industry. So given the pervasiveness of these attacks, software designers need to adopt new techniques and technologies to secure the next generation of systems of the future. So today we're going to highlight a product that helps you do that, and it's intersecting with another very important trend that Chris spoke about. Linux is very pervasive in the embedded space and is a very popular choice for many embedded designs. By combining the best in class of commercial Linux products together with a secure product, we're able to bring to market the ability and the capability for designers to create the next generation of secure products in the embedded marketplace. So before we start, I had a few poll questions. We'll see if I can get through this here. And let's see here. So I'll press OK. Hopefully this will work here. So if you could all take a look at this question and answer it while I read the questions and the answers. My first question for you is, in which industry segment are you considering using a secure Linux? Medical, industrial, networking, aerospace and defense, all of the above, which would be rather unusual unless it was only a few companies, or none of the above. Maybe you've got an application that wasn't explicitly listed here. So let's take a look at what you had to say. Very good. So now, as you can see from, I believe this has been pushed to the audience, you can see that we've got actually a fairly wide distribution, wider than I would have expected. The most is aerospace and defense, which is not a surprise, but clearly in the networking and industrial space, we've got some folks on the line that are interested, with medical also being indicated. What I find most interesting is the all of the above, which I think is very, very interesting. All right, so why don't we move on to the next poll question. How important are security requirements in your next project or design? Critical, very important, somewhat important, or not important? So let's go ahead and see what we found out and how important this is to you. So this is very interesting. Clearly, if folks are either finding that it's a critical requirement or a very important requirement, that's very good. We're finding a strong interest in this area not only as a company, we've been a domain leader and expert in security systems and safety and secure systems. And we're finding that in more and more designs, in more and more use cases, that security requirements are becoming more critical to future designs. So one more question for you, then we'll move on here. So how familiar are you with the Common Criterion Evaluation Assurance Level and FIPS standards and certifications? Would you consider yourself an expert, familiar? You've heard of it, but don't know much about it, or you're not at all familiar. That will help us in our presentation to guide the audience through the materials as we get into some more of the finer details of these standards. So let's go ahead and take a look at the answer. So this is interesting. We've got kind of a smattering. We've got experts. We've got some folks that are familiar. We have quite a few people who have heard of it but don't know much about it, and a fairly large number of people who are not familiar. So that's good, because on my next slide, I've actually can touch on briefly a quick introduction to two key security standards that we're going to talk about today, talk about what they are and how they apply to the market. And then we've got a couple of guys that know a whole lot more about this than I do, which is Melinda and Joe, that can go into a lot more detail as we move ahead. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. So there's two basic standards we're going to really focus on today. There are many safety and security standards, from ISO standards to NIST standards. For those who are in the industrial and the medical, you'll be familiar with many of these standards. In this particular case, there are two key standards that are being applied very commonly in the device space as well as the enterprise space in computing. The first is the Federal Information Processing Standard, pronounced FIPS, and there's a publication, 140-2, which outlines a U.S. government security standard to accredit cryptographic modules. So this is a way of assuring that the cryptographic modules that are included in the system are valid and they meet the security requirements that are required for the U.S. government and other agencies. The second standard is called Common Criteria, which is actually a group of standards. It's an international ISO-IEC standard for security certification. It assesses security and the assurance of IT products. So although embedded systems are not, you know, what we normally think of as an IT product, they're often part of the IT infrastructure, and they often will have roles within the infrastructure that are really perform an IT function. So while this standard typically was more directed towards certain areas, we're finding that it's being applied into deeply embedded systems. The Evaluation Assurance Level, EAL, is a numerical grade describing the depth and rigor of common criteria security evaluations for an IT product. So you may have something at a lower level that requires a minor assurance level, and in that case, it's a little bit of work to get it. As you get to the higher assurance levels, these are things where you absolutely need to have the system have a high degree of security assurance. It gets increasingly difficult as you get to the higher levels to achieve that level of assurance and to be certified at that level. Wind River Linux Secure 1.0 has achieved both Common Criterion EAL 4 Plus certification and FIPS 140-2 certifications, the first embedded Linux operating system in the market to do so. So why don't we move on to the next slide here. So what types of applications would be suitable for use with Wind River Linux Secure? There's command and control infrastructure, both in military and aerospace and other applications, medical devices from within the OR to other parts of the infrastructure and diagnostic equipment, in industrial equipment from data collectors to other infrastructural components, for software-defined radios and secure handhelds, both for public service, for military aerospace applications, and other commercial applications. Obviously, there's a higher-end military communications application that this would be an excellent platform for. And then also another example in the energy area is the smart energy grid. And there's many other applications. It'd be fun to be able to talk to each audience member about their particular application, because whether it's building something like a smart services gateway, a data collector in a medical office, there's so many different applications where security is becoming more and more important. So, and Linux has obviously been very critical to that market. So let's talk just a little bit about what problem Wind River Linux Secure solves. Moving on to the next slide. So Wind River Linux Secure solves these common security problems. From the data perspective, it protects data integrity and protects against data disclosure. For applications, it limits attacks and vectors to an application, and it isolates untrusted programs by creating domain separation. From a functional perspective, it prevents bypassing of security functions and protects security functions from being tampered with. And lastly, at a system level, it secures the entire system through hardened runtime and provides confidentiality protection through security policies. So this is really a top-to-bottom security hardening of the product and certification to a specified security level. So we have Joe Vlad on the line here, and he has special insight into the needs of the Wind River's aerospace and defense customers. Joe, could you tell us a little bit about where you see certified embedded Linux playing in the A&D universe? And has there been a shift in how government prioritizes security since, say, 9/11?
Sure. Thanks, Paul. So first, before we get into the specific use cases for aerospace and defense, what I want to talk about is some of the unique things about Wind River Linux Secure and how it really changes application usage. And we'll talk just in two examples here, but they're not the only examples for markets. I noticed that in the response that we had on the poll question for which markets were of interest, there was about 17% that replied that none of the above. And we do acknowledge that consumer and financial markets can make use of Wind River Linux Secure as well. Even though we don't focus on those specifically here, the needs are very similar. So if we look at the aerospace and defense markets, where Wind River Linux might be able to fit, where there isn't a solution today, are perhaps in non-safety critical avionics, where perhaps passenger in-flight entertainment systems could make use of Wind River Linux. And in there, they're trying to protect information, ensure that passengers cannot disturb or hack into passenger entertainment systems and actually maybe get access to resources that could impact critical flight operations. So there's an area where Wind River Linux Secure can protect and isolate the non-critical functions in passenger entertainment to those that may be more critical. And as you pointed out earlier, Paul, military communications is another key area. Command and control ground systems that operate unmanned vehicles could be another example where Wind River Linux Secure can help out. In the industrial segments, again, we're trying to protect information, isolate data, and make sure that access to information is only given on a need-to-know basis. And in the energy sectors and in the medical sectors, where we're trying to protect those infrastructures from unauthorized access. In the energy structure, you talked about the Stuxnet virus, trying to protect those devices that might be controlling critical operations for either energy or nuclear power plants. In the medical arenas, patient information is considered very private. You know that we have the HIPAA privacy laws that want to ensure patient confidentiality. We want to use Wind River Linux Secure could be an example where we could protect the information on the medical devices and ensure and encrypt that information such that patient records are kept confidential. So the benefits there to all these users are to meet requirements to make it affordable using an open source technology, but gaining the security benefits that protect information and provide discretionary access to the information as required and configured by the developers. So with that, what I'll do is go to the next slide and talk more about the particular use cases for aerospace and defense, for example. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I do that, what I wanted to do was talk about the spectrum of products first. The spectrum of products that we have cover both safety and security. And one of the questions we have in engaging with customers more recently is talking about where does Wind River Linux Secure fit in the spectrum of products that we serve today? Because we do have various products that fit a complete spectrum of products for safety and security. And the safety side, we have solutions with our VxWorks CERT product that meet DO-178B certification requirements. We've got integrated modular avionics architecture solutions with VxWorks 653 that address larger aircraft platforms that are addressing specifically safety. And on the other end of the spectrum of high assurance, where we're trying to provide a robust platform that is proven mathematically to meet security requirements, we have common criteria EAL6 certification with our VxWorks Wind River Mills platform. And I won't go into the details of those two platforms, but we're talking about high assurance and maybe medium assurance. And where medium assurance is concerned, where we're trying to just protect information, maybe not guarantee or prove mathematically that security requirements are met, this is where Wind River Linux Secure will fit. So these examples would be if you're connected to a secure network, you may want to have a cross-domain guard that filters information from one security domain to another. And then handling secure communications with software-defined radios or secured handsets. And again, global positioning system receivers or unmanned ground control systems would be another example where we could fit security requirements for Wind River Linux Secure.
Great. Thanks, Joe. So it sounds like Wind River, you know, obviously has an extensive portfolio of certified and secure software, which is you got to kind of let the tool fit the job, obviously, depending on what you need. Can you give us a little deeper dive into some of the military aerospace use cases?
Yes, and I'd like to talk about one that's actually very popular within the Department of Defense sector right now. They're actually seeking solutions for this particular problem. And in the wartime theaters in Afghanistan and Iraq, the soldiers on the ground have to ID or provide identification for all civilians and potential suspects that are in the theater of operation. And in order to categorize and identify these people, they need to be logged into a database. So they're using different types of technology, different modalities to identify them, using iris scanning, fingerprinting, photo IDs. And this information is collected at the source of where the identifications are being done. That information, as it's compiled, is treated at the highest levels of security. Some information may be unclassified, maybe even uninteresting, but other information that they gather may be highly classified. So what the military does today is takes all that information and treats it as highly classified, even though it has a mixed series of domains of information within that composite. So when it's collected on the computer, the iris scanning, the IDs, potential information about the civilians they may be gathering data on are stored in a database, and that's done in a local database. And what the soldiers must then do is manually move that information from an unsecure network to a more secure network, and then another person has to take that information and segregate the secret from the top secret, from the unclassified, from the uninteresting data, and move that manually to other networks. And this is a series of steps that ultimately end up with in a database, probably in Washington, D.C., that the NSA or maybe other people who are very interested in this information have access to. And it's a very labor-intensive process. And what the military is looking for is a cross-domain solution that allows multiple levels of security such that they could gather all this information at one point, connect it to a secure network, and let software take care of the aggregation and segregation of this information. And this is where an example where Wind River Linux Secure can play, because it provides the capabilities to provide data isolation, protection, encryption, and the information that would be protected and guaranteed access only by those individuals required to see it. So this is another area where I think we're seeing some interest for medium assurance solutions, and Wind River Linux Secure can play there.
Thanks, Joe. You know, I can actually think of other applications. This biometric example, you know, reminds me of, you know, things that could be used in other parts of the infrastructure, whether it be transportation, security, medical applications where you want to keep these things private. So I've seen kind of an underlying theme of secure connectivity. Could you give us another example of where there's an important problem to be solved?
Absolutely. And so if you can extend this to the multi-level secure software-defined radios. Software-defined radios are kind of ubiquitous radios that are handed to soldiers in the field, and they use various waveforms to communicate on different channels. And those channels may be unclassified, they may be classified, or they may be top-secret communication channels. If you think about the operation to capture Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, that operation took place through secure communications. And certainly in the field, a software-defined radio was used to communicate back to headquarters. And here an example is that if you can protect and have multiple users that can use that software-defined radio at various levels of security, we have different levels of security on that software-defined radio, it doesn't have to be reprogrammed. You can have passwords and IDs, and depending on your level of access, would determine which waveforms and which frequencies you communicate on. So here's another example where that multi-level secure access provided in Wind River Linux Secure can help out and solve this particular problem.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, two very, very interesting use cases. I'm sure you've got 10 more after this one, but we only have an hour, so we'll have to get back to you on that one. But you know, I think those are two interesting use cases. One is a portable device, you know, doing communication wirelessly. Another one being more on the infrastructural side, and I'm sure there's a variety of applications in between there. So now that we've kind of looked at some of the security issues that could be looked at addressed by Wind River Linux Secure, it'd be fun to kind of take a look under the hood here and find out, you know, what exactly does it do and how does it do it. So, Melind, what constitutes a trusted operating system, and is Wind River Linux Secure the only one?
Thanks, Paul. So, trusted operating system is a well-known terminology in, you know, that's being used in enterprise and desktop computing environments today, but it's very important even in the becoming very important even in the embedded and device security space. Wind River Linux Secure meets and exceeds all the requirements for trusted operating system, and we'll see how. Let's look at one by one some of the requirements that has been well-known knowledge within the security community. A trusted OS should comply with common criteria certification and should comply with the FIPS 140 certification. So Wind River Linux Secure has it, and none of the embedded Linuxes have that so far. Multi-level security, as Joe mentioned, and then there is multi-category security and domain and type separation. The key security technologies that an OS should secure general purpose operating system should have, Wind River Linux Secure has it, and some of the embedded Linuxes have it. It's sort of secure, scattered around, but Wind River Linux sort of brings in all of that together. And meeting the requirements of common criteria and the government protection profile, Wind River Linux Secure meets the current protection profile requirements as well as the requirements that were designed previously that are no longer that have been archived. So Wind River has this comprehensive list of protection profile that it conforms to, and none of the other embedded Linuxes have it today. And then a rich set of access controls and security policies, again, brings a great capability to Wind River Linux Secure, and you will see less and less with other embedded Linux overall. So overall, for an operating system to be trusted, it has to demonstrate a security assurance as well as bring a full spectrum of security capabilities, including increased security, reliability, availability type of requirements, and Wind River Linux Secure has it on the embedded side.
Thank you. Sounds like what you're saying is that there's a lot of kind of pieces, parts to creating a trusted operating system. Sounds like there's other operating systems out there that may have met some of these requirements, and clearly Wind River Linux Secure being specifically targeted for the embedded marketplace and multiple architectures fits kind of that intersection between embedded and trusted operating systems, and that's very good. So now that you've told us what makes a trusted operating system, can you tell us, can we look a little bit deeper under the hood, and can you give us a deep dive on how this works with Wonderful Linux Secure? And I'm sure, we only have an hour here, but if you can get it, kind of walk us through some of the basics of how we actually get this done, I think that'd be helpful for the audience.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So what we have done with Wind River Linux Secure is we've taken the best of open source technologies together and brought in a full spectrum of security features and capabilities, and we'll talk in a minute, and optimized that on enterprise platforms and taken that in through common criteria and FIPS certifications. If you look at our security spectrum of security capabilities, right from rich security policies, flexible and selection of access controls that can be configured and used depending on what sort of application you're building, and strong memory and stack protection, identification and authentication, FIPS certified secure cryptographic services, network security, system auditing, all of them make a very strong, compelling security feature portfolio for Wind River Linux Secure. And if you look at the core components that's been certified, we have taken Wind River Linux's lead in the carrier grade environment. We've taken that Linux through certification. So we have a carrier grade Linux for high availability and reliability. And we've also have a multi-architecture based hardware and BSPs being certified, along with a full comprehensive list of user space packages. So all in all, it makes a very complete Linux solution that's been certified today. In addition, we've also augmented our certification with a lifecycle process certification, and there are different levels of this certification. This basically looks at how we address security flaws in the product, what are our security responses, how we document, how we communicate with customers. So we've taken all our processes and evaluated that as well. So we have a systematic flaw remediation that adds a plus in our EAO4 Plus certification. And last but not the least, we also, Wind River Linux Secure extends the full value chain that our industry-leading Wind River Linux platform has, which includes Eclipse Workbench, a whole suite of analysis, profiler, debugging tools, optimized build system, command line toolchain. All in all, it adds a great addition to Wind River Linux product portfolio and makes it a complete, secure, hardened platform.
Malin, thanks. You know, there's a lot. It looks like there's a lot of stuff that's been done to the product, and I know this from the work we've done together. And you know, the obvious question that people are going to have is, well, why don't I just download the latest, Fedora or OpenSUSE? And hey, it's got, you know, IPsec and SSH and maybe even SE Linux. Well, you know, why couldn't I just grab any old version of Linux, turn on the security features, and call it secure? Can you give us a little more insight on that?
Sure. So network security is really one piece of the overall puzzle. So Paul, as you said, SSH, OpenSSH, and IPsec. Just look at, try to attempt to secure your communication link or network traffic, but a lot of times your system is hijacked and your system is vulnerable within the untrusted programs that could be running in your system. So what Wind River Linux Secure looks at is an entire system level security, a trusted security that combines the network level security as well as application level security, but it does look at the entire end-to-end system level security overall. Now, I'll talk a little bit about how the security components are structured within Wind River Linux and Secure, and that gives a more better idea. So the way we looked at the security overall, we have a multi-tiered model of prevention, containment, and recovery model. And as you see here, there are three areas that we looked at. One is access control, runtime protection, and system recovery. And as I mentioned, we do conform with the U.S. government protection profiles, which is general purpose OSPP. We do meet and exceed those requirements that bring a huge access control capability. And we also have augmented that with SC Linux. As you mentioned, SC Linux is NSA originated project as part of their information assurance. But SC Linux brings the core technologies such as confidentiality protection through multi-level security and multi-category security. Some of that Joe mentioned about in his presentation. That brings the great confidentiality integrity protection. But we also have a sandboxing or application isolation through type enforcement within SC Linux. And in a nutshell, SC Linux basically gives you firewall right down at the process level. And that's the value that that this product offers in addition to the security assurance. Now, there is also another key piece of technology called GR security, which is also as popular or and well adopted as SC Linux. And it gives a whole suite of patches and gives you a configuration-free type of security technology, which includes a full comprehensive memory and stack protection, including both compile time and runtime protection against buffer overflows or address space manipulations. And GR security also brings you access control lists and network and file system protection, provides you the hardening that we're looking for. And also, last but not least, we also have open source based intrusion detection, which has been widely adopted in Samhain, and we have a whole suite of system recovery tools. So all of these, along with a very comprehensive and configurable policy, security policy, sort of gives you a end-to-end security for a core operating system.
Great. Well, I hope the audience knows there's going to be a quiz at the end, so be ready for that and a prize. No, I'm just teasing you about that. But it sure sounds like, obviously, having been part of this effort, I appreciate the level of complexity of what we've dealt with here, and I think the audience can see that there's a significant amount of technology and configuration of the technology well above and beyond just a standard Linux distribution. But as we all know, that was just part of the investment that we made in getting this certification. I'm just curious, could you walk the audience through sort of the kinds of investments in terms of how one creates a product like Wind River Linux Secure?
Sure. So the process itself of certifying a general purpose OS through EAL 4+ and FIPS, it's time and capital intensive, and it starts off getting your product ready to be certified. And that includes conforming to this protection profile requirements and making sure you have all the security technologies together. So, it's about a year and a half type of investment that you got to do. And then engage a NIAP or a government-approved common criteria test lab and work with them iteratively over the course of a year and a half to 2 years to write all the way from design and developing, fixing issues, writing test cases, independently, enabling them to evaluate your tests and you providing results and providing all the findings with NIAP and going back and forth, with NIAP to making any changes and finally submitting a report that is acceptable to NIAP. So the end-to-end process takes about a year and a half, 2 years, once the product becomes ready to be certified. So we're looking at an investment about anywhere between average of two and a half to 3 years for any AO4 certification. And obviously, there are several full-time engineers working on this.
Well, having gone through this process, I certainly appreciate how much work it's been working back and forth. And it's really more than it's a collection of bits, but really getting it through the process and getting it working together. And clearly there's a lot of work to be done. It looks like, and, you know, I think this is, you know, how we should think about Wunderv Linux Secure, that it's really a building block of pre-assembled, pre-integrated platform that's been pre-certified that customers can use as a starting place for designs that require security certification. So maybe you can kind of explain some of the implications are for customers that that have a need to actually create a certified product, and then and afterwards maybe I can address a few of the questions about those folks who don't actually need to be certified but want to have a secure platform. Can you talk a little about that?
Sure. So for customers who would have a need to certify their environments to EAL4 or FIPS, what we have, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the core values that we offer and then address how what this means to customers. So we have, as I said, we have taken the core components of the Linux operating system through certification, and we have enabled multi-architecture. What that means is that will enable us to independently bring new hardware, either COTS or customer-specific hardware, on iARM or PowerPC, and incrementally take them through certification with a very cost-effective, minimal overall cost of enabling those boards. And we also are, with our Windriver, with its years of experience in safe and secure, adds tremendous value overall in really providing end-to-end services to customers. So our services is set up to take on any software modifications that customer may have, or the hardware itself, and any other customization, training, design, integration. Also, if there are any roadmap acceleration or managing their own customer custom content itself, we have the experience background to do that. And over the last several years, through this certification process, we've gained extensive market knowledge as well as the knowledge of the certification processes itself, along with NIAP. So we are set up to offer certification services that spans all the way from certifying a small change to all the way doing a full recertification. So we offer that to customer in a way that that is an incremental and a delta certification to what we have done. So for customers, with the solution, they get a commercial off-the-shelf certified secure complete solution. But if they have customization requirements, we have the expertise and we have designed the product such a way that it becomes cost-effective to incrementally scale that.
That's great. And from looking at the attendees of today's webinar, I think we've got some folks who may be, you know, familiar with that process of dealing with, you know, certifications and certification maintenance and all that. And we may have other folks that maybe have a secure design that doesn't necessarily require a recertification but can be built on top of an existing platform such as Wunderv Linux Secure. So it sounds like we can address sort of the spectrum of applications that have security and want to, you know, leverage the goodness of Linux. So, and multiple architectures. I think that's kind of gee whiz. So, and to that point, we've got some folks in the audience that don't necessarily have a strong background in this stuff. You've talked a lot of different very technical things. Before we open up the floor to questions, you know, how would you sum up in just a few words the benefit of Wunderv Linux Secure?
Sure. For any secure operating system, there are three things that are very important to provide a complete end-to-end secure solution. One is providing confidentiality protection, user privacy, user data, privacy against user data disclosure, integrity, making sure the information stays intact, and availability and reliability. So Windriver Linux Secure with its solution meets all of these protection, spans its protection to meet all of these. And Windriver Linux being the first and only certified product to EAL 4 plus and FIPS 140 using the current up-to-date protection profile standards enables basically customers to develop and deploy their applications on an already certified platform that gives us a huge that gives them a huge time to market edge or any other solutions that are out there. And as we talked about the multi-architecture platform support and the scalability to bring in customer-specific content, customer-specific customizations in, that brings in the ability to incrementally certify and meet their needs, provides a very cost-effective solution. So Wind River Linux Secure brings the overall scalability and the COTS readiness. And finally, last but not least, Wind River Linux Secure shares the same common values of Wind River Linux, the industry-leading embedded platform. So that gives us the customer the confidence and reduces the overall program risk. So I would say it saves the time, saves money, and reduces risk, and meets your certification assurance as well as security requirement.
Yeah, very good. I think that's what, you know, my eyes were drawn to that same saves time, save money, reduces risk. I think that's really the key, and the customers and partners that we engage with, you know, clearly that's what they're looking at. In particular, in safety and secure environments, these are things that can be very expensive, take a lot of time, and be very risky. So, you know, having this building block and this platform onto which you can create secure designs, I think, is of great interest. So now we're going to hand it off to questions. And let's see here. Maybe we could advance to the audience slide here. Should be one last slide here. Let's see what's going on here. There we go. Thank you. And so we'll pass over. So I'm going to pass it back to Chris here, who's going to start queuing up the questions for us. And, of course, I look at this thing, and as he mentioned, I'm a commercial pilot and certified flight instructor and lots of other fun things, and I've got a little gaggle of old airplanes. Of course, what I want to do is build, you know, put Wind River Linux Secure in my airplane, but haven't quite figured out how I can expense the airplane to the company yet, but I'll have to work on that. So anyway, over to you, Chris, to help us get the questions started, and then we'll answer a few questions.
Chuckling at that last one, looking at the trainer plane that I'm looking at with rods and cables. I'm not even sure it has a computer in it, but nonetheless, that's an old one. As these gentlemen have been speaking, the questions have been queuing up. There's quite a few of them, so let's get right to the Q&A, shall we? First question goes to Melend. Does Wind River Linux Secure support multiple architectures? If so, what are they, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So we support three different hardware architectures, Intel, both 32-bit and 64-bit, PowerPC, as well as ARM architecture.
Okay.
And we have already evaluated boards with those architectures.
Anything else you'd like to add to that?
So we are we have not only certified the product into three architectures, but we have designed our product in a way that that we have covered the major architectures. So and we've made it straightforward and simple to add incrementally new BSPs within those architectures. So that gives us a huge edge over customers who are looking for adding new BSPs within these architectures. It will become a cost-effective way to adding these new BSPs.
Well, yeah, the thing that comes to mind for me is every one of those processors that you mentioned have extensive roadmaps going out into the future. Intel, for example, just leapfrogs itself in its TikTok model every year to a year and a half or so. We certainly know that an AltaVec is coming to Core IQ Freescale sorts of things. So how easy is it to add new processors as the processor vendors add new capabilities?
So, yeah, it is the way we've, you know, evaluated is that we have covered the hardware independent portions of the OS certified, and the hardware dependent portions we have encapsulated within the BSP, and we have covered the architecture support already in the products. But you're absolutely right. There are there are very promising roadmaps both on the ARM and Intel that we are getting ready to support those with this product.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, and this is Paul. Maybe I'll just jump in here for a minute and say that, but it, clearly Windriver Linux Secure will track these processors over time, and you know has a roadmap, has a lifecycle, and one of the things that is you know part of this is lifecycle management is security updates and things for the product in line, but also then for the next generation of processors and things, you can expect future versions of this product to support it out of the box. But in the meantime, there's our ways to do certification maintenance, recertify, and or just use it as is that are available as things evolve.
Excellent. Thank you both. So lots of questions coming in. We're going to struggle to get through them, so I'm going to keep them moving. If you gentlemen could keep your responses as brief as possible. So, Melend, how can open source be secured and certified? It changes all the time, and no one company controls it, right?
That's in general for open source, that's true. But what we have done with Windriver Linux Secure is we have locked in on a stable set of open source technologies. We brought them together, optimized on the embedded and device security space, and we have pre-validated, pre-integrated those security technologies and open source end-to-end technologies together, and we have certified them. We're committed to supporting those technologies. We have a roadmap to help customer migrate to or help address any of their update or upgrade requirements. But all in all, Windriver Linux Secure really provides a pre-validated, optimized set of open source technologies that has been certified.
Okay. So I'm going to throw the next set of questions to Melend, and then we're going to trade off with some of the other ones, but we're kind of on a roll here with this. And with apologies to the several people who posed similar versions of the same question, Melend, I'm going to encapsulate them together. So there are two questions here. What kernel version is this based upon? And the second question is, what protection profile has this been certified for?
So the kernel version is 2.6.27, and the protection profile that's been certified is the U.S. Government General Purpose Operating System Protection Profile, version 1.0.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I had a question here for Joe, and it just disappeared on me. Joe, the question is, in some versions of Windriver Linux Secure certified, I'm sorry, is some version of Windriver Linux Secure certified to support multiple independent levels of security mills? Is some version of Windriver Linux Secure EAL 4+ exportable?
So I'll address the first part of the question. The first part of the question had to do with the MILS architecture. And Windriver Linux Secure is not built upon the MILS architecture, which is essentially a separation kernel technology that does only four things: isolates data, controls the flow of information, traps faults, and guarantees protection of data. So that the architecture is dramatically different from that of Windriver Linux Secure, where you have protection of data and processes that run in a priority preemptive manner. In the MILS architecture, they run in a time-slice manner. With regard to the exportable components, I think we're still vetting the export restrictions. I don't believe the open source pieces should be there should be any export restrictions, but there could be potentially some export restrictions on the encryption technologies.
Makes sense. Next question for you, Joe. How good is EAL4 on the scale that goes up to EAL7? And can you give us examples of what 4 or 4+ means?
Yeah, so 4 is what is commonly referred to as medium assurance security. And in the spectrum of assurance, it guarantees that pretty much information that is privileged on a machine can be classified at different levels and accessed only by those authorized and configured to access it. What it doesn't do is guarantee that the infrastructure is impenetrable. That is, it still can be considered a vulnerable system if someone were smart enough to figure out how to hack into it. So it doesn't guarantee that it can't be hack-proof, whereas the systems that are built to EAL6 and EAL7 are mathematically proven to only do the functions required for securing the system and nothing else. So they can't be compromised. So there's a much higher degree of verification that goes in with EAL7 and EAL6 than would go with EAL4. But the trade-off is, of course, there's a lot more time and effort, but the guarantees of security are much higher.
So one quick comment to that I would like to add there as well. For a general purpose operating system, today in the industry, EAL4 is the highest level that can be certified. But as Joe said, for a separation kernel and other products, that there are higher levels of assurance that's available.
Thank you both for clarifying. I'd like to switch to a couple questions for Paul. And if you are not the right person, Paul, then punt it back to one of these other gentlemen. So two questions. Can you explain the difference between a vendor-certified platform and a customer-certified appliance?
I'm not sure I understand the question, but I think I'm trying to think of the difference between – so in either way, if you're going to certify, you're going to go through a similar process. I think in one case you can have an application running on top of a certified system, and in the other case you're certifying the whole system as a group. I don't think EAL Level 4 requires, you know, once an application is on top of that system, you necessarily have to certify that application. But I think that it's addressing using it as a COTS platform as opposed to a custom platform.
Paul, I can a little bit help clarify on that one. I think I've been asked this one before. I think this is one of the value that Wind River Linux Secure offers. So Wind River Linux is a vendor-certified platform. What that means is Wind River as a company is involved and sponsor the certification end-to-end, and it is set up to provide you services, capabilities to give you a complete secure solution. The customer certified, meaning what you will see with some of the enterprise Linuxes outside, where the customers have to take a distribution, commercial distribution, modify it, and certify it themselves, which has a huge cost and time pressure on the customer or the OEM side, and they have to invest significantly to take a commercial distribution and invest in there and support it and certify it. So that's a huge value add that Wind River Linux Secure brings.
Okay. Thank you both very much. We are just about out of time. We've got 2 minutes left by my clock and a number of questions here, so I'm going to try to parse these and pick the ones that I think are the most important. What are the minimum footprint and system prerequisites? So that question goes to Melinda.
The minimum footprint and prerequisite could vary depending on the architecture and BSP you're looking, but we can certainly help you with what your system requirements are, and we can help you design that will meet. The product is structured in a way that you can incrementally layer different configurations on. So the minimum configuration can be fit in within 64 to 128 megabytes. But if you want the additional SC Linux and other technologies together, that may require additional flash and memory storage. But if you could contact us, we can help you look at what your system design is and help you optimize that way.
Okay. By the way, there's a follow-on question here. Is it 64-bit or 32-bit implementation?
So Wind River Linux Secure has been evaluated both on a 64-bit, Intel 64-bit, as well as 32-bit platform.
Very good. Thank you. There are a lot of questions left here, but I'm going to throw the last one to Paul since it seems like a nice kicker for the whole thing. And somebody asked this, not kidding, how much does Wind River Linux Secure cost?
Well, we can take your order right over the phone. No, we can't. We would encourage you strongly, sort of a softball question here, but, you know, please contact us and we'll provide you an account manager at Wind River and we'll provide you the pricing information from there. So that's the answer for a short one.
Very good. So that brings us right up to our time limit for today. I'd like to thank all of our three speakers from Wind River who helped make today's eCast a reality. Every one of them credible in their own right, a lot of information. And as I mentioned at the very beginning, we may not have had time to address all of your questions. My goodness, the queue shows 10, 15 questions left. So sorry about that. But I'm sure somebody from Wind River is going to get back to you offline to get individual answers to your questions. I'd also like to thank all of you who are following along remotely. There are lots of you still here. from all over the world, especially people in Europe staying up late for this. So thank you very much. The eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours. Typically, that's today. You can also find an audio podcast of today's eCast on iTunes. If you care to listen to it in your car without the slides, of course, be safe. You can search iTunes for embedded_e-cast. Again, that's embedded_e-cast. Thank you all very much. We're adjourned. Have a nice day.